Charlie Brown Christmas special or any of the other number of Charlie Brown movies or TV shows or even the comic strips, there's one thing you know about Charlie Brown is that somehow, some way, the simplest and most easy of tasks are those that he gets wrong. It doesn't matter if it's flying a kite, if it's kicking the football, if it's trying to strike somebody out, he never seems to be able to get it right. Right now, my family is traveling up to the farm to spend a few days there, and I can guarantee you that they're probably watching the Peanuts movie, the Charlie Brown movie, in the Yukon as they're driving, and there's this mean scene at the very beginning of the movie where Charlie Brown is trying to fly a kite in winter, and as always, it gets caught in the same tree all the time. And Lucy, who's just a mean bully, by the way, she's a terrible person. Lucy says this to Charlie Brown: "You blockhead! I should have known what kind of person tries to fly a kite in the middle of winter. You will never get that kite to fly. Why? Because you're Charlie Brown." I mean, come on, that's just me. But do you ever feel like Charlie Brown? Like, no matter how hard you try, you're just not going to get it right. I love ice fishing, but I rarely ever catch fish. I feel like Charlie Brown every time I'm out on the ice. I just can't get it right. There's all sorts of things in life where we feel like Charlie Brown, like we're not getting it right. There's also times as Christians, as people who try to live according to God's word and try to be obedient to the Lord and the way that the Lord has shown us through his will, through his word, there's times there too, many times, where I feel like Charlie Brown, like I'm a blockhead and I'm not getting it right. In Scripture, this not getting it right according to God's word is, frankly, what we refer to as sin. The word for sin, one of the many words for sin in Scripture, has this connotation to it of missing the mark. And the word picture that comes from this is that of archery. It's shooting an arrow with a bow at a target, and any time you shoot at the target and you miss the center of the target, to any degree, you've missed the mark. That's the word. One of the words for sin is that picture of missing the mark. So anytime you miss the very center of the bullseye, you've sinned. And God has given us what that target is, what that bullseye is, and that's his own will. It's his desires. It's his commands in Scripture, his law. That is the target, and quite often we are sinning. We're missing the mark, and that's because you're Charlie Brown. You never get it right. You're a blockhead. You're a sinner by God's standards. We miss the mark. And we can think many ways of how exactly we miss the mark. It might be that you miss the mark when it comes to being a good and loving husband or wife. Maybe you miss the mark when it comes to be a loving and dutiful parent. I can guarantee you, if you got your kid the wrong present for Christmas, they have told you you've missed the mark. You've sinned against them. We might miss the mark when it comes also to being an obedient and respectful child. And it doesn't matter how old we are and how old our parents are, we're still their child and we still give them respect and obedience, and we can fail and miss the mark there too. We miss the mark. We sin often when it comes to being helpful and listening friends, when it comes to being a good and caring neighbor or a just and fair boss or a responsible employee. All these things, In many ways, we all have at least once and in times missed the mark and been sinful against other people. We sin, we miss the mark as citizens, we miss the mark also as church members. No matter how hard we try, you will find that you are more often than not a Charlie Brown, missing the mark, sinning against the Lord by failing at what God has commanded us to do through Holy Scripture. When we look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, Matthew has given us this ancestry of Jesus, which I know somebody out there is asking, how can this be Christ's ancestry when he is born of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit? Joseph isn't his true biological father. But that's not the point of Matthew's genealogy, and that's looking at this with modern eyes, not as ancient eyes as the people in Christ's time. Matthew's point in this is to say something to us about Jesus and about these people into whom he was born as a community member, as a family member, as a member of this ancestry. And Matthew's point here is that Jesus was born into a very imperfect family line. This family line is full of awful people. And I don't know what kind of family lines you all come from, but I can guarantee you they don't compare to this. In this list of people, there are prostitutes, there are liars and deceivers. In fact, one man's name literally means deceiver. There are adulterers, there are murderers, there are men in here who had hundreds of wives and abused that in many ways. There are scandalous people in here, scoundrels. There are plenty of idolaters. This genealogy has several kings, and many of these kings not only worshipped other gods, but they incited the people under them to worship other gods as well. There are conspirators. It is a list of very few faithful people and very many faithless people. Sinners, every one of them. Every one of them has missed the mark by God's standard. None of them get it perfectly right. They are all Charlie Browns in that sense. And so why does Matthew give us this list? Why does he point this out to us? It's precisely this, that despite all the treachery and all the sinfulness in this list of people, God still worked through human history to bring us Jesus Christ. That despite sinners, God still brought us Jesus for sinners. That despite the sin of his own people, God remained in control and through it all brought exactly what people needed. We see in this list that Jesus' own ancestors, the people that he was born to, are in need of a Savior, and that's exactly what God gives us. You and I are in need of a Savior, and this is what the Lord gives us in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. He is the one promised through David to be the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the one given for all people. He is the one, the Son of Abraham, the one who, through Abraham, would be a blessing to all nations. This is Jesus Christ, whom we need, because we fail constantly. We constantly are missing the mark. God has given Jesus to you for this purpose. One other thing, though, that I see in this ancestry, and I see how God worked in spite of all these sinners, is that just as God has used sinners to bring Jesus to us, the Lord also wants to use you and me, sinners alike, to bring Jesus to other people as well. God wants to use even those who have failed most to restore them first of all, and then to use them as a testimony to all those out there who have yet to have heard the name Jesus and have yet to come to faith in him. So there we have it. Even in the genealogy of Christ, a list of a bunch of names, we have the promise of Jesus for us, the promise of Jesus for a bunch of sinners. Let's pray. Gracious and most merciful Father, we can look at this list of names and see in them many of our own sins as well. But just as you brought your Son Jesus to them to die for them, you brought your Son Jesus to die for us. Forgive us of our sin. Restore us into a good and right relationship with you. Make us righteous by your name and your name alone. Encourage us and empower us then, O Lord, also to bring the glorious name of Jesus to those who have yet to know him and to have faith in him. Help us by your Spirit and not by our own confidence to bring the glory of Christmas, the glory of your salvation to all those who have need of it. We pray this in your name. Amen.